You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
All right, we're back with my good friend Casey Conway, the head of real estate department over at the Culver House School of Business at the University of Alabama. You could say it now, Casey.
Yeah, Roll Tide.
Thank you so much. Now, let's talk a little bit about adaptive reuse. We've only got about 5 minutes left, so it's a big topic. I know we can't do it justice here, so you're going to have to come back, Casey. But let's talk a little bit about how adaptive reuse could be a solution to what's ailing America.
You bet, Jimmy. So we're about ready to publish next week, collaborative with the University of Alabama, our Acres Center, a real estate center, and the CCIM Institute. What we think is really the first comprehensive paper on adaptive reuse. So no one out there has really definitively defined it, given us an industry definition. Some think it's everything, including just re-tenanting, a building for the same use. And so we laid out a definitive definition in this paper. One, it's got to be an existing structure, so it's not new construction. Two, it's got to have had functional or economic obsolescence or both in it. So something's badly broken in both design or its prior use. It's got a highest and best use challenge. It's got a change of use. So it's not just taking a 1980 vintage office building and fixing the elevators and the lobbies and making it an office building again. This is actually a change of use. And fourth, it's got to be economically viable so that you can go get them the money for it, right, Jimmy? And so
all day long,
there you go, value add. So we also quantified it. No one knows. We throw the term around loosely. Nobody knows how much of this is out there. It's hard for the investment institutional capital to come if they don't understand it, know how it works, how much of it is. So we went out there, we created a nationwide database, and we calculated that somewhere between 1% and 2% of our 32 billion plus of commercial real estate in the United States is adaptive reuse projects that have been done essentially over the last 3 to 5 years. And we think that number will double to 4% range with everything that's happening in e-commerce, the shutting down of malls, the flight back to the cities, the urban trends. And there isn't the land and there isn't the zoning and all that. So people are increasingly trying to figure out how to take an existing use, an old warehouse or an old train station downtown or something like that.
Wynwood. You're talking about Wynwood, man.
Talking
about the close-in industrial neighborhood to Miami that's going through an unbelievable renaissance where they're knocking down the industrial buildings and building around it. And it's just an incredible transformation. It's got to be happening in other cities.
It is. And Jimmy, we took one step further. We said it's not just forget that it can only be for big cities and big projects like malls or a whole, old former industrial district. It's scalable. So we found examples and we identified things like a small branch bank in a small town that was converted to the town's new library. Or we found infrastructure like you got the High Line Trail in New York or the Beltline in Atlanta. We found rotary trails, for example, in Birmingham, where they took the old abandoned rail tunnels and lines along the abandoned rail tracks, converted them into green space. L.A. did it with a big part. So this adaptive reuse is more than just buildings. It can be taking abandoned infrastructure and bringing it to green space. We found examples of, taking a jail, making it into a hotel from shank to swank in Boston, medical pods, vertical farming. So this really gives kind of the best practices, what to do. And here's the last thing. The biggest obstacle in most of these deals is that when you hit the local government and they don't know what it is, they don't know how to accommodate your needs, whether it be a variance for parking or density. So we outlined who's doing what, who are the smart cities out there that have actually figured out how to accommodate adaptive reuse. And believe it or not, the leader is Tucson, Arizona. They put in a pilot program 2 years ago. It's a blueprint for how to adapt or adopt your zoning ordinances and whatnot to facilitate this stuff. So the paper releases Monday by the CCIM Institute. We're going to build on it. We have the database. We're going to begin to break out cap rates and transactions and so that there's the data and the information to underwrite these deals and bring more institutional capital to it.
Well, high five to you and one little pitch for your – there you go. One little pitch for the Culver House Institute. You always end your email with a pitch. Give the pitch. We've got like 30 seconds. Pitch.
So Roll Tide.
You're the man. But people, you're always looking for sponsors for your newsletter and such. How do people get a hold of you?
Yeah, so if you just send me an email or a text, the text to my cell phone is 678-458-3477. My email, the easy one, is kcmaicre at gmail.com. If I get one more designation, I'm going to add MOUSD and move to Orlando. How about that?
I love you. And I want to thank you so much for the halo. I'm using it. It's just terrific. Casey, I think about you every day with that thing. And I want to thank you so much for supporting me and my team. You're the best.
Always an honor. You're the best. If you do need refinancing, nobody works harder or thinks more creative than you, Jimmy. You're the best out there when you need to refinance and get refinance capital.